Wednesday morning was the 18th anniversary of, you know, the tragic events of 9/11, you know, of those four airplanes and all those thousands of people that were killed in 2001. And I got thinking about that. And you know, it's funny, they say you can remember where you were at certain events. And, you know, I just was starting my second day of work at DS Masonry at Pueblo, Colorado, after we moved, we all moved out to Colorado to go to Bible college. And I was just starting my second day, and there was this guy named Joe. His name was Joe Deneau, and he broke all the rules. It's against OSHA rules, but he had one of those DeWalt radios, you know, one of those big yellow DeWalt radios. And he was listening to the radio, and just a few moments after we started, you know, because we were in mountain time there, 2 hours behind. It was like when the first plane hit, and then it just kept progressing and progressing and progressing from there. And it was a weird day, you know, but we were bricklayers and we were working at Pueblo Hospital and we just kept on working, you know. The impact of what really was going on hadn't really reached us. We really didn't understand what was going on. So we just worked the full day. And I remember coming home from work that evening, and of course, you know, Cindy had the news on, and, you know, just showing that event over and over again, those airplanes hitting the Twin Towers, and over again, and showing the collapse and all those things. And I sat down and I was watching that, and I remember Sam Donaldson said this about the event. He said, "Our country has lost its innocence." And he said, "Things will never be the same." And man, here 18 years later, this morning, I realize and recognize, boy, was he ever right. Man, our world is infinitely different than it was on that day. You know, there was several memes, you know, going around Facebook about 9/11. And one of them I seen is that somebody was really wishing they could go back to September 12th, 2001, right? They wish that they could go there because, you know, it was like this. As all of a sudden people, Christians, began to flock back to the church. You know, people began to call out on God. You know, what in the world is going on here, Lord? We need you. And I remember my first two chapel services at the Bible college in Colorado Springs. It was, you know, maybe 6 or 7 or 8 Bible college students in these chapel services. But then the next week, that night, Tuesday night chapel service, the place was packed. There were several hundred people in that chapel service. And that continued on and on and on and on all through Colorado Springs. And what I understand, all through the nation, people were turning back, flocking back to God. But you know what I noticed is the farther that we got away from 2011, right? September 11th, 2001, the farther we got away from that date, then things began to kind of go back to normal, you know, and it wasn't long before there was 7, 8, 9 Bible college students in chapel service. Man, the great love that we had, the great need that we were professing to God under those straining and stressing and uncertain times was just beginning to fade away as our lives weren't as an intimate danger, you know, as we had thought. But then I seen another meme that said, somebody said, "Man, I wish for the America of September 10th, 2001. Man, that one I really understood. Because September 10th, 2001 was a completely different time than September 12th, 2001. September 10th, 2001 was light years away now from, you know, September 11th, 2019. But today is September 15th. 2019, and we've gathered here this morning, and you listen to the songs that we just sang, things to be thankful about. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. We just proclaimed that this morning, and I want to tell you something. We have a whole lot that we need to be thankful for today. You see, in these days of social upheaval, and I think we all know what I'm talking about. In these days of great social upheaval, God has called us to minister and to make a difference to the lives of the people around us. We are to affect our world. We are to affect the world in the name of Jesus. You know what we're called? Each and every one can do something. Each and every one has this gift inside of them to help somebody else and to serve the God of the universe. And I'm going to tell you something. If we're going to make a difference, if we are to see God, then we need to be thankful, recognize, and act on what God is and wants and will do through us. You see, we just need to grab a hold of something. We need to grab a hold of the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to work and we need to worship in the manifest appearance of the Holy Spirit in this place today and daily within our lives. You see, I've been reflecting quite a bit on 9/11, and I'm going to tell you something today. I realize with all my heart that I'm not the same person, you know, today than I was then. I'm a completely different, you wouldn't recognize the bud of September 11, 2001 as the one you see standing before you here today. But you know what? With all of that said and done, it's really been painful to me to come to the understanding that I've got a long way to go. I have a lot of things in my life to work on. You know what? I am far from having arrived. Well, I'm just going to be honest with you. Cindy knows this. I got issues. I do. There, I said it. I've got issues. Don't tell my DS. But I think you guys, each one of us, I think are at least a little bit like me. I think each one of us have some kind of issues. But here's what the good news is. And here's what we really do need to be thankful about. Hey, God's not finished with me yet. And God's not finished with you yet. And God's not finished with us here yet. Can I get an amen about that one? You see, I realize today that God is always knocking on the door to my heart. I want you to understand that God is knocking on the door to your heart. He desires to open up my heart and my mind to the wondrous gifts that He's already given to me, that He's already given to you. But here's the thing, is He's got more, and I can't even imagine what they are, but He's even got more wondrous gifts in store for me and you in the future. But here's the deal, we got to give Him opportunity. We got to allow Him to do it. We got to open up and say, God, I got issues, but I know that You've called me here to do something. He's not finished with Him yet. Now, as I said earlier, I understand that so much has changed over the last, 18 years, that the world today is a much different place than it was then. But God, believe it or not, even though it doesn't seem like it, with all the social upheaval and the meanness and the evil that seems to be circulating through the world, God is healing our country. I want to tell you, God is healing our church. God is healing you, and God is healing me. Hey, even though the world and our country and our lives, are full of stress and full of strife and full of turmoil, I want to promise you something. It's through these things that God heals us. It is through these things that God grows us. It is through these things that God restores us, loved ones. He's the God of restoration. Can I just get an amen about that? Like many people, probably many people here today, there was a time in Cindy and my marriage where things weren't going very well. But you know what? Through prayer, through conversation, through dogged determination, and through a 3,000-mile car ride, I'm telling you the truth, God did a supernatural healing in mine and Cindy's marriage. And we acknowledge it today. And we're not afraid to say, you know, that we didn't have issues. Cindy's not afraid to say that she still does. I know I'll suffer for that one. She's a good girl, and I love her with all my heart. I do. And I'm glad I have a partner that really does allow me, to a certain extent, to tease her a bit. But you know something? And this is serious. Through the healing of that most important relationship of our lives, and in my life, God has grown my relationship closer to Him. Do you know God has grown my relationship closer with my children? See, God has grown my relationship with the people around me. See, God has opened my eyes to the wonder of loving Him and loving others. You see, God has and God is showing me anew that people are the way that they are for a reason. Sometimes we just have the can't help it. But God has charged me. And I think God has charged you with loving without reservation. Love doesn't have an asterisk by it. Love doesn't come with qualifications. You see, God calls us to love because He wants us to make a difference in the lives of those who are sick and in the lives of those who are healthy. And so I'm just going to say today, I'm thankful for all that God has done for me. So this morning, I'd like to speak to you a little bit about the wonder of having an attitude of gratitude and being thankful on this Lord's Day. You know what I would like for each one of us to do is not just be thankful today, but you know what, how about we just are thankful with an attitude of gratitude every single day? I mean, you know what, we can all have excuses. We can all have yeah buts, but you know what? How about making our lives better by making every day Thanksgiving Day? You know, I believe God has given us a powerful word for transformation over the that's been going on over the course of this past year. And I will tell you something, as He's held us accountable to each other, some people have embraced that and they have grown and they've moved onward and they moved forward and they moved upward, but yet others have been a little bit upset about, you know, this accountability. And it's allowed them to put up barriers between their relationship with God and others. But I want to tell you something. If we have an attitude of gratitude that when we're being held accountable by God or by people around us, we can be thankful that somebody is pointing these things out. And then, you know what? We can grow. And we can move on. And you know, God will do great things in your life and in the life of the church if we just are thankful that somebody loved me enough to criticize me, loved me enough to say, hey, I think you could do better at this. So I believe that God has given us this powerful word of transformation over the course of the past year. I believe that He's spoken into our lives and offered up His transforming power in love. If we just reach out and we take it and we accept it. See, I believe that if we have listened to Him at all, then our lives have changed for the better and we have reason to be thankful today. But the question must come back to each and every one of us. Have we been listening? Did we listen to Him? Has God, listen, this is a good question. Has God's Word forced us to make changes in our lives? You know, has God's Word forced us to make changes in our relationship with Him? Has God's Word forced us to make changes in our relationship with others, with family members, with friends, with acquaintances, with workmates? You know, when you study the Old Testament, you come across this guy named King David. And the Scripture tells us that King David was a man after God's own heart. And you know, sometimes I've wondered about that. You know, what does that really mean? Because this David guy, this King David guy, was far from a perfect person. I mean, just read his story, right? And 1 and 2 Samuel, just read about him, you know, and you come to find out that, you know, he wasn't a perfect person. As a matter of fact, you find out that he messed up more than most of us ever do. But here's what he experienced, what a lot of us never do, or what a lot of us never will. But he experienced the power of God's reconciling grace. He opened up his heart and mind to what God wanted to do in his life. He accepted that he wasn't perfect. But as God worked in his life, he had this wonderful, wondrous, almost crazy attitude of gratitude. Our text this morning offers up thanksgiving to God. And so it's going to be up on the screen. Can we stand this morning? And can we read together in unison Psalm 100, if we could, please? A psalm for giving grateful praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Father God, give us an attitude of gratitude this morning. Father God, open up our hearts and minds to what you would have us learn today. Help us, Father God, to stay engaged because you loved us so much that you did not think of us as so bad that you would not give your son for us. So, dear Lord, we thank you for all that you have done. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen. You may be seated. Be seated. These words of the psalmist remind me that this is exalting the Lord. That what we've just read together today is worshiping from the holy mountain of God. That what we just read this morning is singing a new song. That is recognizing God for the gift of our salvation. Psalm 92 says this, "It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. But you, O Lord, are exalted forever." I'm going to tell you something today. I'm going to go countercultural. I'm going countercultural today, so I want you to hang with me. Because I believe with all of my heart that we are a blessed people. I believe with all of my heart that we live in a blessed nation. But I'm going to be honest with you. I believe at the very same time we can be some of the most ungrateful people. And as a nation, and as a people of God for that matter, we can be ungrateful. I wonder, have we forgotten what God has done for us? Have we forgotten what God is doing for us? We have gone, loved ones, from entering his gates with thanksgiving to complaining that those gates are too narrow. And people are walking daily away from God. I just read the other day that 60-some-odd pastors leave the ministry in the Church of the Nazarene every month. And some 1,800 leave the Christian ministry around the world every month. It's not just people walking away from church, but it's pastors walking away from God as well. And I've come to realize that we complain about more about what we don't have than what we do have. You know, every November we have a day set aside which to be thankful, and we call it Thanksgiving. And on that day we sit around this table filled with food, reflecting on and remembering all that God has done for us, for our nation. Or at least that's what we say we do. You know, in 1789, George Washington said this: "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and His favor." Are we asking God to protect us? Are we asking God to favor us? Or do we just think that it's our birthright because we've been born and raised in New York or in Michigan or Colorado or wherever the case may be? I'm going to tell you something. Psalm 100 was written to remind us of our need to be thankful and to maintain gratitude to God our Creator. So I'm just going to tell you something today, flat out. I think every day should be Thanksgiving Day. I think every day should be. That's the way the writer of Psalm 100 professed to live his life, and so should we. The average person spends more time watching TV in one day than they spend in all spiritual pursuits combined for the entire week. Think about that one. Most have a Bible, but don't know what's in it. We call ourselves Christians, but yet we're not living according to biblical Christianity. Our greatest enemy in the Western world is materialism, spiritual pride, complacency, and self-sufficiency. There's a story told about a lady that had given a little boy an orange. And his mother said to the boy, "Well, what do you say to her?" And he said, "Peel it." I suppose he's right a little bit. But we've lost an attitude of saying thank you. Did you hear what I said? We've lost an attitude of saying thank you. We've lost this attitude of being grateful for what we have more than complaining about what we don't have. It doesn't take us long to realize, you know, we need a reminder, but it doesn't take us long to realize that Israel needed one too. Psalm was kind of a wake-up call for them. A missionary doctor has developed a treatment which stopped progressive blindness. So you know what? The people came to him from all over to perform a treatment. And they realized that if this guy didn't give them this treatment, that they would go blind, that they needed this for them. And he said that they never once, of all the people that he helped, they never once said thank you because it wasn't in their language. But you know what they did do? When he was finished and their sight was preserved, they spoke a word that meant, "I will tell your name." And wherever they went, they would tell people the name of the missionary who cured their blindness. That's an attitude of thanksgiving. That's an attitude of gratitude. They had received something so special, so valuable, that they wanted to proclaim it. They wanted to give credit where credit is due. That's what King David is teaching us here. I hope we realize today that God is so good to us, and that because God is so good to us, that we just can't keep that inside. I hope, you know what? No, I think we must shout our joy unto the Lord and unto others. You know, just around the corner, believe it or not, right? This is what, September 15th, you know, a couple months, right? Thanksgiving's right, coming down on us pretty fast. And who knows it's going to get here sooner and later? Who can already feel that it's going to get here sooner than later? The one day that we set aside to give thanks. But us as a body of Christians gathered in this place, shouldn't that cause us to stop and take pause? Shouldn't that, you know, cause us to stop and thanks? Are our lives so bad that we need a holiday to remind us to be thankful? I mean, is it really that tough? See, shouldn't the presence of God in our lives bring forth unstoppable praises of thanksgiving from our mouths? I mean, if we're going to live a life of thanksgiving, I'm just telling you, it must be every day. You know, when King David or the Apostle Paul talk about thanksgiving, the word praise wasn't very far behind. They always have it in their sentences. The words praise, thanksgiving, always, continually, in all circumstances, are woven throughout their writings. Israel grumbled because they had no food, and God miraculously provided manna for them that was, you know, bread from heaven. And all they had to do was go outside and pick it up every day. Go outside, pick it up. The Bible says it tasted sweet, something like honey. All they had to do was go outside every day and pick it up. And pretty soon they were grumbling because it was the same thing every day. And they had to go outside and pick it up. 10 lepers are healed by Jesus. Only one of the 10 came back to thank Jesus for the healing. The rest of them quickly forgot where their healing came from. Now, I'm not picking on any parents or grandparents. I know you guys got precious little ones, and I hope to have some precious grandchildren too one day. But I don't know if you know this, but a newborn baby, they're pretty ungrateful. I don't know if you guys realize that. Man, you walked that baby all night long. I remember Joey, you know, Joey was always grumbling. Remember Cindy when he was little? You had to carry that kid everywhere. And you just couldn't carry him on his shoulder. You had to hold him like a football. His head couldn't be facing out. His head had to be facing towards your elbow. He drooled all over you. He burped all over you. And that kid never once said to me, "Thank you, Dad, for carrying me all night long." He just finally just crashed due to exhaustion. My point is that a child's got to be taught to be thankful. You know, a child must be taught to share. We used to teach that. Well, Cindy especially used to teach that to Jenny. And one time Cindy had something she didn't want to share, but Jenny was right there saying, "Share, Mommy, share." She had taught Jenny too well about the need to share. You see, a child must learn that everything they do does not, everything they see and everything they do, everything they put their fingers on, that doesn't belong to them or that they have a right to it. Not only does thanksgiving have to be expressed, but it's got to be learned. Now, three things to learn here. You guys thought I was coming to an end, but we're just getting started, so strap yourselves in. First is we need to express our thanksgiving. The second thing is we need to commit to thanksgiving. And the third thing is thanksgiving is thanks living. So let's talk about the first one for a moment, expressing our thanksgiving, okay? I'm going to say this to you. I want to say thank you to each and every one of you who came to church today. I want to say thank you to each and every one of you who decided that this was an important place to be and have made today special for me. Thank you. I'm very grateful for this church as a whole, for their support. I'm very grateful for the people of this church, for the way they are so kind to Cindy and I, the way they express thankfulness to us. You know, just a thought here, and I'm leaving it up to you to make sense why I'm going to say this. But have you ever wondered why you park on a driveway and drive on a parkway? Have you ever really thought about that? Huh? We'll talk later. Maybe you can help me. Well, it is because the words that we use a lot of times don't express what is really happening to us. See, what is really going on? There are words in the English, you know, language that have different meanings depending on how you use a particular word in a sentence. So you know what? When we talk to people, we got to pay attention, or we'll miss what they're trying to say, because we have to figure out how these words are being used. So try this week. Maybe you'll see the reason why I asked that about the parkway. Tell someone close to you, thank you. You know what? Tell someone very close to you, thank you. Be direct. Don't make them guess what you're doing. Tell them, show them, express your appreciation for them. You see, the Bible says this, serve the Lord with gladness. See? So each time you feed the hungry, you know what? You do the work of the Lord. Next week, when those missionaries are here, you know what? They're going to be serving the Lord by telling us what God is doing in Vietnam through the Church of the Nazarene, through the Church of Jesus Christ. They're going to tell us how they've been serving the Lord. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to take an offering for world missions. And you know what? In that particular moment, all of those who contribute whatever it is to that offering are serving the Lord. There's many ways to serve the Lord. And everybody has an opportunity to serve the Lord. And everybody has something to give in order to serve the Lord. Whatever it is. You can pray. You can give. You can work. You can teach. You can feed. You can be present. You can be encouraging. Everybody has a gift to serve the Lord. You can give random acts of kindness. When you do those things, you are serving the Lord. You are expressing thankfulness. Inasmuch, Jesus said, as you have done unto one of these, least of these, you have done it unto me. Second thing, commit. Commit to being thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, I think that, well, we cannot only thank God when things are going our way, right? You know, we got to be deeper than that. We got to be broader than that. I don't know if you guys remember Dr. Larry White, but Dr. Larry White was the DS who asked Cindy and I to come here and interview. He was my first DS out of Nebraska, and he was the first person ever to just see something in Cindy and I, and he became a mentor, and he became a supporter, and he was one of the first leaders in the church that just looked at Cindy and I and said, you know what, we just love you for who you are. And he just said this to me once. He said, I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems. But I've come to realize that they have problems because they complain. You see, I was complaining to him about something that was going on in my first church. I didn't know what to do with it, so I sat him down and complained. And he held me accountable. And he loved me enough to tell me the truth. He loved me enough to say, stop complaining. And love those people anyway. I heard one preacher say this, we have it so good, we enjoy it too much, but we express it so little. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, and I think it's up on the screen there, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, I realize today that some of us have grew up with a lack of abundance. A lot of us, and not all of us, though, grew up with less than what we have today. You see, we have lived, loved ones, I'm telling you, the American dream. I know this is true for my family. My kids have more today than I had at their age. You know, my kids growing up had more than I had when I was their age. My kids are living the American dream. But I'm telling you something, if we're not careful, we'll cross over that line and go where we do not want to go. I want you to listen to what I'm saying today. See, we are rich in stuff. See, we are rich in junk. And I think Cindy and I, man, are realizing that lesson more and more and more these days as we figure out what junk we don't need, what stuff doesn't really make sense in our lives. But have you counted your blessings lately? Have you stopped for a moment and named them one by one? I think if you did, you'd realize how much stuff God's allowed you to have. You know, there are people in other countries that work all year long for what we have, what we make in a week or two. I just did this research just the other day. Today, 2018, in the Philippines, the wage is $7,600. The average wage is $7,666 a year. In Uganda, the daily pay is $9.50. That's U.S. dollars today, every day. James 1:17 says this, every good and perfect gift is from God. You know, I've not been to the Philippines, but I've been to Uganda. And I will tell you this, when I was in Uganda, the average wage at that time was about $1.50 a day. And man, they had so much more joy than we had. Man, they were happy. I knew a guy that had a bed, a hut, and one pair of clothes. And we asked him, you know, what can we do for you? What do you need? He says, I need nothing. I have a bed, I have a house, and I have clothes. He didn't have food, but he figured something would come up, I guess. They've never forgotten God in the process. We live our lives like it's a buffet, right? We don't eat to live. We live to see how much we can eat. Me and Leonard talk about that all the time. That's for sure. We do. To get the most, we live to get the most out of our money. So today, commit to being thankful. Know when enough is enough. Just because too much of a good thing, you know, can kill you. You know. Too much of a good thing can kill you. Do you know, I have to take about 75 units of fast-acting insulin every day. As a matter of fact, now it's in a pump. It's in this thing, and it's metered out. Do you want to know what's really good about this thing? Because it keeps me from taking too much of a good thing. It keeps me from taking too much insulin. And you know what? I could die from that. I should have asked Dr. Mike what it was called, but I can't really think of it right now. But too much of a good thing can kill you. That's my point. All right, the last one. You guys are going, praise God. This guy's got to stop. Thanksgiving is thanks living. Thanksgiving is thanks living. Verse 4 of our text says this, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Being thankful to God can and will change your life. Thankfulness, I'm telling you, this is a guarantee, will increase your personal happiness. You see, because your happiness isn't based upon what you have or what you're going through, but it's based on your attitude while you're going through it. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says. And I say it again, rejoice. He wrote that verse, I don't know if you realize that, but he wrote that verse while he was chained to a guard in prison. It just blows me away. He learned to be content where God had him. You know why? Because he knew God was in it. He knew God was the author of it. Thankfulness will enhance, I guarantee, your relationship with God and with others around you. know, husbands, I'm going to talk to you for just a moment. How much would your marriage improve if you told your wife how much you appreciate her? But now be careful. We don't have those, you know, those shocker things here, and we don't want to give her a heart attack. You know, we don't have those things. So we have to be careful. But now, wives, I want to ask you a question. How much would your marriage improve if you told your husband what he means to you and just show him respect? How much would your prayer life increase if you began thanking God for what he has done for you and not by what you need him to do for you? All these relationships that you have will be energized through an attitude of gratitude. The enemy of thanksgiving is complaining. You know, the old Eeyore complex, you know. Oh, Lord, it'll never work. You see, thanksgiving and complaining have a hard time coexisting in the same person's heart and mind. I want you guys to hear this today. If you have food in your refrigerator, if you have clothes on your back, if you have a roof over your head, if you have $20 in your pocket, then you are richer than 75% of the people in this world. Okay, I'm landing the plane. Here's how I'm going to do it. So I want you to prepare for a new holiday. We're making it up right now. We're going to call it Thanksgiving. We're going to call this holiday Thanksgiving, and its day is every day. I think about all of the things that you have to be thankful for. I mean, just maybe make a list and write them down. I guarantee they'll outweigh everything else. You know what? Thank God for your salvation. Thank God for his word that directs you. Hey, maybe all of us just need to go there a little more often. Thank him for the grace that forgives you. And thank him for the mercy that preserves you. Thank him for his arms that embrace you as you go through your day. And whatever else comes to mind, thank God for it from your heart. Our text today says this: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever.